Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 13th chapter, text number 6. Nabinande Dhruvam Mrityum. We're doing 7 today. Okay, they told us 6. No problem. Now such jastresha such jeta. No pajivit the jivikam. Vadavadang stajetarkan. Paksham kanchana sangshayet. Na sach jastresha sajata. No pajivat the jivikam. Vadavadang stajetarkan. Paksang kangcha kangcha na sangshayet na sat chatresu sajata sajit no pajivet jivakam vadavadang stijetakan paksang kangcha na sangshayet. Please chant. Na sat sastresu sajata sajit. No pajive te jivakam. Vada vadang te jetakan. Paksang kam chana sangshayet. Na sat sastresu sajata. No pajive te jivakam. Vada vadang tijetakan paksang kangchana sangshayet nastat sastresa sajeta no pajivet jivakam vada vadang tijetakan paksang kangchana sangshayet. Ladies, na sat jastresha sajeta, no pajive te jivakam, vada vadang chajeta kan, paksang kangchana sangshayet. Asat Shastresu literature, like newspapers, novels, dramas, and fiction. Sajeta, one should be attached or should indulge in reading. Na, nor. Upajiveta, one should try to live. Jivakam, upon some professional literary career. Vadan vadan, unnecessary arguments on different aspects of philosophy. Dijet, one should give up. Darkan, arguments and counter-arguments. Paksham, faction. Kangcha, any. Na, not. Sangshayet, should take shelter of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Literature that is a useless waste of time. In other words, literature without spiritual benefit should be rejected. One should not become a professional teacher as a means of earning one's livelihood. Nor should one indulge in arguments and counterarguments. Nor should one take shelter of any cause or faction. Purport. A person desiring to advance in spiritual understanding should be extremely careful to avoid reading ordinary literature. The world is full of ordinary literature that creates unnecessary agitation in the mind. Such literature, including newspapers, dramas, novels, and magazines, is factually not meant for advancement in spiritual knowledge. Indeed, it has been described as a place of enjoyment for crows, Tadvaya Sankirtam. Anyone advancing in spiritual knowledge must reject such literature. Furthermore, one should not concern himself with the conclusions of various logicians or philosophers. Of course, those who preach sometimes need to argue with the contentions of opponents. But as much as possible, one should avoid an argumentative attitude. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya says, Aprayojana Pakshang Nasangshayet Na Prayojana Pakshishyan Na Vritashishya Bandhakrit Na Chudasina Shastrani Na Virudhani Chabhyaset Na Vyakya Yopajiveta Na Nishidhan Samacharit Evam Bhuto Yatirayati Tad Eka Sharano Harim. There is no need to take shelter of unnecessary literature or concern oneself with many so-called philosophers and thinkers who are useless for spiritual advancement. Nor should one accept a disciple for the sake of fashion or popularity. One should be callous to these so-called shastras, neither opposing nor favoring them. And one should not earn one's livelihood by taking money for explaining shastra. A sannyasi must always be neutral and seek the means to advance in spiritual life, taking full shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. Translation again. Literature that is a useless waste of time, in other words, literature without spiritual benefit, should be rejected. One should not become a professional teacher as a means of earning one's livelihood, nor should one indulge in arguments and counterarguments, nor should one take shelter of any cause or faction. Om Agyana Timuranda Shagaranjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nulatya Minatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankarate Garim Yakripata Maham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatanam. There's a very timely shloka and purport. There is one highly regarded authority on the media, and he once declared boldly that the media is the message. The media is the message. So when one has some addiction, just like any addiction to coffee, tea, any drugs, one becomes addicted to certain aspects that provide content. That's the buzzword, content providers. Everyone is concerned now how to get the message. And platforms, whole movements are based simply on this idea of content delivery. But the original content delivery was this Tene Brahmarida Ya Adi Kavye, this message coming down from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Evam Parampara Pratim Imam Rajasi Ovidhu. This is the content, this is the only content that we're concerned about. But it's easily, we can see how in this age, with everyone's smartphone, which goes asleep as soon as you leave it unattended, they're addicted. Worse than some drug in some cases. They cannot take their eyes off this tiny screen, or bigger screen, or even bigger screen. Right? Every new device coming with a bigger screen. Because we are visually attracted. It seems in Kali Yuga that this particular sense is also our enemy. More so than others. Because by the eye, we're attracted to so many illusory things. And this medium, the internet, has given so much cause for concern, not just for issues related to security, but to health and welfare of the individuals using it. Because this addiction causes so much rampant licentiousness. This is an epidemic. Why is there, in India of all places, where we have the treasure house of the Vedas, yet there is rampant sexual exploitation to such a degree? India should be famous for the Vedas and the knowledge contained therein. But we see that it has become a very dangerous place due to this addiction to this pornography. Such a terrible thing. We see here that this is only fit for crows, this so-called literature. But this is not even literature. So we have to make the mind the best friend, not the worst enemy. We all know this verse. So how do we do that? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that the active principle for spiritual advancement is the order of the spiritual master. And if one does not follow the order of the spiritual master, then he is asara. He is useless. So the only thing for the disciple, the only thing necessary, is to strictly follow the order of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada gave very simple formula. Follow the four regular principles, chant 16 rounds, read my books. On the face of it, it seems too simple. But anyone with experience knows that by just simply practicing what Srila Prabhupada has given us, that all success is there. The active principle, anyone has seen, you pick up any drug, and on the side of the box it says active ingredient. And then there are so many inactive ingredients. The active ingredient, the active principle, is that which gives the potency to that particular formula. All the pharmacists here know that. So the active principle of spiritual life, that which gives the potency for everything, your preaching, any endeavor related to Krishna's service, is the order of the spiritual master. And anything other than that is disaster. Just the slightest deviation. One time a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, how can I have success in spiritual life? How can I please you? He said, by following all the little rules and regulations. Now, it used to be a joke. We used to say, the International Society for Rules and Regulations, when we were brahmacharis. Because for every activity, there was some rule. Don't do this, do this. But this is what kept our minds engaged, because we knew. Prabhupada said, a Brahmin cleans where he eats and where he sleeps. Simple thing. But these little things form the basis of our discipline. Prabhupada said, disciple means discipline. Discipline means to control the mind. Doesn't mean anything else. We don't wash the floor or wash where we ate just out of some idea, some imagination, some speculation. We do it because we have heard from the spiritual master, from the authority, like everything else. That's a simple example. But the spiritual master sometimes gives very difficult instructions. There was one time a news reporter asked Srila Prabhupada whether or not any of his disciples ever disagreed with him. Prabhupada said, only if he's a fool, a damn fool. But yet, sometimes we see these things. And we should take note very carefully how these deviations occur. And we should avoid them at all costs. Mental speculation is anything other than the spiritual master's instructions. I mean, it's the door to all other activities like this literature of the crows. Illusion is based simply on this mental speculation. It is not anything else. It is not that illusion. Yes, we know that there is the three states of consciousness. And we know that everything aside from chanting the holy name is illusory. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said there is nothing in the 14 worlds except the holy name. One realizes that through this chanting. He gets practical realization. This is just not some phantasmagoria. Rajavidya, Rajaguyam, Pavitram, Idamuttamam, Pratyaksha Bhagamam, Dharmyam, Susukam, Katamavyam. This knowledge is a king of education. Why? Because it is practically realized. Practically realized. It is a tangible thing. You follow the orders of the spiritual master. And what do you get? Yasya devi parabhakti yata deve tata guru. You automatically get the purports, the imports of the Vedic literature. Automatically. How? How is that? Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto matak smriti agyanam apohanam cha. Because Krishna as a super soul is residing within. He sees who is sincere and who is not. He is there in every living entity's heart, witnessing everything and guiding him from within and externally by the Chaitya Guru. So we can concoct something. We can imagine something. We can do anything. Prabhupada said Krishna is very kind. If you want some material benefit, you can get that. He says, but then you will have to take another birth. And there will be a gap of millions of years. This is what he told us in Mayapur. There will be a gap of millions of years. So here, who is foolish enough to sacrifice the instructions of the spiritual master for some risky chance of taking birth again and not getting a human form of life? For millions of years. Not just a human form. Any birth. Who knows? But some people you'll see that they are willing to trade their spiritual life for some material benefit. And this is not just some cultural phenomena. It happens in every sphere of life in every country. You know, here in India, the demigods are clearly defined and people are less intelligent at worshipping them for material benefit. But other people are worshipping demigods and semigods in the form of these media moguls or some movie personality. They've accepted that I should emulate these people. I want to become the next hip-hop star, the next disco DJ. All these different things. Because this is the pushing, the urging. Anyway, there's that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvaraham aham bhogi siddoham balavan sukhi. Everyone, this demonic mentality, this the mode of ignorance. It says that I am the controller. I am the controller. Everything is for my enjoyment. So if anyone wants to use anything other than in Krishna's service, then he's associating with this mode of ignorance. One time in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada was passing by the bathroom outside his room. Everyone has seen Srila Prabhupada's room in Mayapur on the second floor. Everyone's seen? Technically, they call it. Anyway, it's the second floor. Next door is bathroom. So Prabhupada passed by one time, and it was 1976. Many, many devotees had come, and the facilities were overloaded. And they were trying to clean them round the clock, but even that was not possible. Everyone knows how bad a nasty bathroom smells. No one has to be so descriptive. So when Prabhupada passed his bathroom, it was disgusting. And he said so. He came into class. He said, "How is it that no one has taken notice? All you brahmanas." He even threatened to stop the fire sacrifice that was scheduled for that day for second initiation. He said, "No one should get second initiation." He said, otherwise, when he passed it by, of course, he immediately made arrangement. He told the devotees, "Get this cleaned immediately." He said, because if I didn't react, then I would be of the same nature. He said, acid and acid, there's no reaction. Water and water, there's no reaction. But acid and water, there's reaction. So if one is in the mode of ignorance, then he doesn't mind to live like a hog. And therefore, in his next birth, he takes birth as a hog and he eats stool, and he's very happy. He doesn't see any problem with that. Prabhupada said, for the hog, stool is like halva. So if there is something wrong, and he quoted that verse, Tadara jastamo bhavo kamalo bhadyasche, one has to be rising, at least attempting, with all endeavor at his command. Humble or not. Because it doesn't take humility to be disciplined. It takes some intelligence. I follow the instructions of the spiritual master because that is the correct behavior. I have accepted initiation. I have sat in the fire as Vishnu was the witness, as the spiritual master was the witness, as the deities were the witness. I have taken vows. But these vows are just so much useless, meaningless words if one does not follow them sincerely. Otherwise, one should not take initiation. Anyway, one has to rise, Prabhupada said. Otherwise, then his taking initiation is useless. He used the term, he said, then it is simply show bottle to describe devotees who externally appear as some sadhu. But actually they are simply show bottle. And he said, show bottle cannot act. Show bottle cannot act. That is Shishigonata. Everyone in India knows what show bottle is. But this term is not well known in the West, and we have to describe it every time we use it. But nowadays, I think everyone is familiar. So we should not become simply show bottle devotees. reading mundane literature under some pretense that it's required for preaching. Prabhupada said, yes, sometimes. But his response, when devotees would ask, well, how do I respond to these Mayavadi preachers? Prabhupada said to ask him, what is their philosophy? Say, what is your philosophy? Because they have no philosophy. What can they say? Let them speak for 2-3 minutes. They will simply put themselves in a bind. And then you can quickly, you know, turn the tables on them. Because this is the superior philosophy. Everything is there. So we have to be confident in our preaching. But that confidence comes by strictly following. Otherwise, if I have some secret, then how can I be confident? If I'm cheating in the process, you know, I'm making some excuse to go here or there to enjoy some material pleasure. It doesn't matter what the excuse is. This is just the mind, you know, just being the enemy. So we have to pull it back under all circumstances. And the opportunities are coming every minute. Like I said, the eyes, unfortunately, are very prominent, and they're simply trying to attract us. We see that in Vrindavan, we have the example of Surdas. That because he was so much troubled, and he's highly revered, having taken such a drastic measure as to eliminate his vision by taking the pins and stabbing his eyes. Because they were just, you see, what it can happen. What was that? Prabhupada gave that example of the minister and the emperor in the Mughal period. That the minister was telling the emperor that this sex life, it is so powerful that up until the moment of death, a man is affected. Not just men, also women. But the example here is men. And the emperor was saying, no, that is not true. So the minister was silent, which is the correct strategy. You wait for the opportunity when the lesson will have maximum effect. You don't try to tell someone who thinks he knows everything. Just wasting your time. Janaki said, don't give such advice. It's useless for them and it minimizes you. So we waited for the opportunity. One common associate was on his deathbed. A prominent person, well respected. So the minister instructed or requested the emperor, you please come and see so and so. He's on his deathbed. He can leave at any moment. And you bring your daughter, the princess. So the emperor came with his beautiful daughter. The minister had told him before he comes in the room, said, you watch this person's eyes. Because we know that through etiquette, one should offer his respects to the emperor. His eyes should go to him, and even if he's in an incapacitated condition, he renders some obeisances, some respect. But as soon as the emperor came into the room, immediately this person's eyes locked on the princess and never wavered. So thinking, feeling, and willing. In Kali Yuga, people are saying, oh, I'm not responsible. My thinking and feeling, it does not constitute a sin. In Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, thinking and feeling was in itself sufficient for Papa Beach, for the sinful seed to be placed in the heart, for the reaction to be fructified at a later point, or even in this life. But in Kali Yuga, only the act itself. So people think, well, I can look. What's the harm? But from thinking comes feeling, and from feeling comes willing. So if you ask any low-class man why he did such crime, he'll say, oh, what is the harm? I thought it, and I did it. There are such foolish persons. Sometimes we lock them up in the mental institutions. Why? Because these are people who cannot control their mind. To the extreme. Whatever the mind says, they do. The mind says, kill this person, they kill him. And then he says, I am insane, you cannot hold me responsible. Prabhupada used that example also about the man who was brought to court. And his lawyer offered the plea of insanity. And the judge said, I cannot excuse him because more or less everyone is insane. So if everyone can use this, then there's no justice. There's no meaning to laws. Laws are for men, for civilized men. I was reading in the Nectar Devotion, chapter 22, Krishna's transcendental qualities, 64 in number. And number 11 is highly learned. Krishna is highly learned. Prabhupada gives the definition of highly learned as someone who possesses education and morals, not separately. Not separately. Anyone can be educated, but without morals, is simply an educated ruffian, fool. There are many educated criminals. Many criminals with extremely high IQ. They commit crimes because they think they are smarter than everyone else. But what does Krishna say in that same category of highly learned? He said that Krishna is death personified. In Vrindavan, Krishna is death personified to the thieves. And I was wondering why in this category of highly learned, this is mentioned. He is bliss personified for the pious. He is Cupid for the gopis. And he is the most munificent person to the poor. And then Prabhupada went on to explain, and it's not that Krishna is not moral because of his position related to killing the thieves. Prabhupada said, actually, this is the highest morality. The highest morality. So a person who is highly learned knows how to apply morality according to the time and circumstances. He is not a fool that simply accepts that if someone is committing some sinful activity that he's excused because of my inability to understand right action and wrong action. So Srila Prabhupada was perfect. And if one examines his life, his letters, his literature, he will find every single answer. So many devotees, when I would ask, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? They would say, I read this science of self-realization or this journey of self-discovery. And these books are very potent because they elucidate, they illuminate Srila Prabhupada's dealings and relationships with others on their particular level. Because someone who is self-realized Someone who has seen the truth, he can deliver the truth. This is the essence. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadakshite gyanas tatvadarshana tatvadarshana. No one else can reveal the truth except that person who has seen the truth. We don't go to any vendor and say, give me this authorized product. We don't go to the sabji wala on the street and say, give me some SIM card. No, we know who is the authorized reseller. So if we're smart enough to figure out who to purchase our goods from, we should be intelligent enough to know who is speaking the truth. Who is speaking exactly as Srila Prabhupada spoke? There is no need. Another interesting story, Satsuru Maharaj once related to us. And when Srila Prabhupada left New York for the first time and went to the West Coast, the devotees inquired, Srila Prabhupada, who will give class? Up to that time, no one else had given class. Prabhupada said, you will give class. All of you will give class. I said, Srila Prabhupada, what will we speak about? Prabhupada said, you should speak according to your realization. Only according to your realization. Satyu Maharaj replied that those were the shortest classes in ISKCON's history. Everyone is so correct. You can speak only what you realize. So one has to. What is that verse? Samo damo tapaso cham sunti ajam evaja gyanam vigyanam saitam brahma karma subhavajam. Knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is realized knowledge. One cannot claim to be a Brahmana if he has no realized knowledge. Realized knowledge means which has been acted upon. If I study, I can study medicine for 100 years. But if I do not practice, then this knowledge is simply book knowledge. Someone who has studied for 100 years, if you say, would you grant that person permission to operate some neurosurgeon? He says, I have read every book on neurosurgery. Please let me operate on you. Very delicate operation. No. No one would be foolish. Though so many people are masquerading as pundit, some learned person. But he has never acted. We know what is the exchange. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. This is the exchange. So by book knowledge, it can never happen. One has to, under the guidance of a spiritual master, engage himself in the following these orders, the active principle. Then one will be successful. This is not rocket science. It is sublime science. We used to pass out the mantra cards in New York in the old days. Chant these names of God and your life will become sublime. So when I first got the mantra card, I had to look up the definition because I didn't know what's sublime. We're living in the material world, but we have no idea what is sublime. Because it is transcendental. And when I read the definition, I said, yes, I want this. And I saw that these devotees, these people, they had this. It was obvious. I was working in the largest library in the world at the time, New York Public Library. It occupies a huge block of New York City real estate. And you see this building, but what you don't see is the subterranean levels and the hidden levels of books. They're called stacks in between the floors. And there are books from antiquity, the most ancient books kept locked up in cages. Only few have access, research scholars. And I was going to college and I was thinking this college is useless. People trying to teach you so many things. But all these departments of knowledge are just Shrama Evahi Kevalam. They're useless. So I thought, and only students can get jobs in the library. So you have to be a student. You have to show your identity. Because they will fix your schedule according to your curriculum, according to your school schedule. So I'm working. I thought, I will find the truth here. Every book is here. So the truth must also be here. Because I'm thinking the truth is in a book. So I found Bhagavad Gita. But it was not Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And it was something attractive. The flowery words of the Vedas. They're attractive. But that contamination, unfortunately, can prevent one from coming to Krishna consciousness. Because one thinks that according to these books, I am God. God and I are one. You know, that there's the super ego, there's the living entity, the alter ego. So all these misconceptions prevent one from coming to the real understanding. But I was fortunate because the devotees would chant outside the library on Fifth Avenue on a regular basis. And I would see the Sankirtan party. I would hear first. My office faced Fifth Avenue, and I could hear clearly the chanting of the holy names. And I was being purified. Agyata Sukriti, I didn't know. But one time when I was outside, they approached, and everyone in New York would take, they used to have very special prasadam, Luglu Prasad, the first health bar, very healthy. Very delicious. All natural ingredients. And so people would approach devotees just simply to get this luglu. And so I took the luglu with the mantra card. And then I asked the devotee, I challenged. I said, what do you have to do with Krishna? Because I was reading Bhagavad Gita. And I don't see anything in Bhagavad Gita that shows this activity. But you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're chanting Krishna's name. And so they said, well, what do you know about Bhagavad Gita? And I said, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita. I know so many things in Bhagavad Gita. And I said, but when I said, which Bhagavad Gita? He said, no, that is not. He said, that is simply someone's mental concoction. And then he showed me Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, Macmillan version, just at that time, 1972, the big one, first edition. And mine was a very small copy, very thin, patla. So I thought, just by the size alone, I was attracted, because by material calculation, there must be more knowledge. But I didn't take it the time. But I thought I must go and visit this temple. And I did, and then I took Bhagavad Gita as it is. And that, of course, changes everything. Because you receive pure knowledge. So we have to be willing to be instruments. Nimitta matram bhava savyasacham. The instrument does not act independently. I can adjust the preaching according to my limited realization. But I cannot change anything. The essence must remain the same. Only the acharya can make some adjustment. Because he knows how to keep the essence along with that adjustment. But we cannot. Anukara anusara. One has to follow, not imitate. It's a very important concept. We are followers. Someone asks, who are you? I am a follower of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Otherwise, I am nothing. So we're very fortunate to be in Srila Prabhupada's office. He struggled here. It's this knowing, the promise he made to build this glorious temple. He could fulfill his word. And he did. And this is how we should be followers. That whatever Srila Prabhupada wanted, that we should be able to do. Whether it's instructions for us or instructions for the general public to distribute his books or to clean the temple. They're not different. No one should think that because I'm distributing books, I'm somehow more elevated. That will destroy the catalyst by which one is trying to please Krishna, because the false ego is contaminating the endeavor. It's like pouring water on the sacrificial fire. We know what the Sankirtan Yagya is, and it should be done properly, very carefully. You know, we don't want to, how can you say it? Expand on this point. Everyone knows it. But you cannot simultaneously have the fire, the yajna, of purification, and simultaneously be pouring some water. It is impossible. Like taking one step forward and one step back. You can be in this movement for 100 years. But you will only get the endeavor, of the hard labor, like trying to husk the rice husks. It is simply useless labor. But one can stay in this movement. Prabhupada said, how to please him? Such a simple thing. Simply follow my instructions. If one is trained up from the very beginning, he will never have a problem. He will never be cheated. It doesn't matter what someone tries to say or do to divert your endeavor. You can easily say, Peru, where is that in Prabhupada's instructions that I should endeavor in such a way to divert my attention from his core order? One has to use his intelligence. We are not blind followers. Let me read the translation again. Literature that is a useless waste of time. In other words, literature without spiritual benefit should be rejected. One should not become a professional teacher as a means of earning one's livelihood. Nor should one indulge in arguments and counter-arguments. Nor should one take shelter of any cause or faction. Are there any questions or comments or corrections? Do you have any way for
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Thank you, Guruji, for the wonderful class. I have two questions for you. In between, you were mentioning about the experiences which we get, the realizations, when we sincerely follow the instructions, and when we are very sincere, so we do get the realizations. But my question is, Guruji, we oftentimes we are not able to live that realizations, and oftentimes, we lose that intensity of the realizations, that experience we had. So what is the cause of that, and how the good experiences which we get in Krishna consciousness, we can live to that and we can content than that.
Ultimately, the cause of all of our suffering is forgetfulness. Prabhu was asking, we may get some realization, but then we don't act on it, or we act on it in a haphazard way. So this, an actual realization, creates an indelible mark. If one even attempts to transgress that realization, Krishna from within will remind you, you have made this promise. So we can continue to ignore Krishna's instructions, and to that extent, Maya will cover us again. She doesn't have any difficulty doing so. In a moment, Maya can put you fully in illusion. Just like the fish in the ocean. Many fish have scars because they have taken the hook many times. But why have they done so? When they are hooked once and captured, and maybe after long struggle they have to free themselves, but the hook is pulled out and there's a scar. But again, the bait, because the fish is captured by the tongue. Like the elephant is captured by his genitals. Like we are captured by our eyes. So the fish is repeatedly captured. He cannot help himself. So he has no... So that means there's no realized knowledge. Otherwise, just once. It's like the monkeys in Vrindavan. When the house was finished, Prabhupada gave the temple commander air gun, pellet gun. Prabhupada said, keep the monkeys away from my house. So after a few times, the monkeys are hit. Just by seeing the gun, they run away. Because they have realization. They associate the gun with pain. So if we see some beautiful woman and we associate that with personal sense enjoyment, then that is illusion. But if we see that beautiful woman and think, oh, there is 1 million births. My spiritual life is finished by that meditation. Then that is realization. He knows. Don't linger on that thought. What is the profit? If I shift my attention to the lotus feet of Sri Gornitai, Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari, Sitaram Lakshman Hama, then I have some profit. But if I go back again to thinking of some material object of sense gratification, then that means that my realization is useless. The opportunity will always be there as long as we are embodied. The senses will always be attracted to the objects of the senses. But I have the ability, through this process of thinking, feeling, and willing, to cut it short. Prabhupada gave another example about the mind. And when I was young, I don't know, I never thought that anyone else even considered the situation. But Prabhupada clearly indicated that when one walks up to the edge of a cliff, and looks down, the mind says, jump. But the intelligence says, no. Eh? How is that? Where does such an idea come from? But it's there. And without the mind, crazy people jump all the time. Not that because they have a mind, but they cannot control it. They cannot control it. Every day you'll see people are jumping from some tall building, some bridge, something, wherever they can find some high spot. They are disciples of the mind. So we should not become such disciples. We should be disciples of ISKCON Samstapacharya Srila Prabhupada, follow this process. Susukam Katam Avyam, everlasting and joyfully performed. Huh? Any other questions or comments? Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Partly continuing with the same question, Prabhuji. So earlier my question was how to know what is my realization, but as you mentioned, the point of indelible mark, whatever creates, so that becomes the realization. But then how, which are the factors which will create the indelible mark? Because many times we hear nice points and that inspires powerful thoughts and inspiration lasts for some days, but then it goes. And how?
You have to act on that realization. If I know that something is bad and I continue to do it, actually the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. That is the definition of insanity. So that realization means if I do something and if I experience some bad thing, I don't do it again. I don't do it. So if I have some realization, I know when I go on Sankirtan, I have to surrender to the process. I am not the doer. In this situation, my service to the spiritual master is simply to approach everyone and offer them a book. It is not to judge this person will take, this person won't take. How does one determine at what point this person is in his journey in spiritual evolution? I am just the taking the instrument that has been given to me, the like the dog post, the peon. He gives the letter. He doesn't try to open it, read it, understand it. He just delivers it. And so on Sankirtan, everyone who has done Sankirtan, he's had this real experience. That you approach a person, you think this person would never take a book. The last person I'm thinking. But that person takes the book. And that person gives a sizable donation. Without even asking. And then the realization is there. How Krishna is in everyone's heart. And how I am so foolish because I cannot see that clearly. But by acting on the order of the spiritual master, he allowed me to realize. And what is that realization? That Krishna is seated within everyone's heart. And by my sincere attempt to surrender, he is reciprocating. And I mean, obviously, everyone here will do Sankirtan if you have not already done it. And if he keeps that humble state of mind and just tries to deliver the message sincerely, regardless of any other situation, it doesn't matter if you've been in the temple one day or 1 million days, the act is the same. One has to be that transparent instrument. Right? I mean, in my own experience, I can relate that I was feeling somewhat, how can you say, despondent after a full day being in a remote location, not of my choosing. I was simply, in those days, the Sankirtan leader would take you to some place and they would put you down out of the van, and you were there all day until they came back. You had your books, you had your incense, and if you were lucky and you grabbed an extra banana from the morning, you had some prasadam. Otherwise, you fasted. And sometimes the Sankirtan leader would forget you. That would happen. All the way back to the temple, and say, oh, we forgot so-and-so. So I'm distributing. I'm trying to distribute. And then after one person rejected, I see out of the corner of my eyes one young lady carrying one child. Typical American housewife. Pushing the shopping cart, going back to her vehicle. And all of a sudden I see she's trying to get my attention. And I'm thinking, must be someone else. Because why is she... But she saw me, I was distributing books. And she said, are you Hare Krishna? Because in those days when we went out, we wore some cap and some karmic clothes when we were out in these suburban areas. You know, but our shaved heads, it was obvious, the neck beads. I said, yes. She said, I had one book by your teacher. It was pink, and it was small, and had a picture of a couple, and I was reading, and I was very much interested. But someone had removed that book because they didn't want me reading it. This is just a typical housewife. When someone saw that she's reading the Nectar of Devotion, it was a Nectar of Devotion by her description. And how she even got that book, she'd found it someplace. So she asked, do I have that book? And I didn't have Nectar Devotion with me. But I gave her invitation card. I gave her back to Godhead. And I said, please come to the temple. We have Nectar Devotion. I said, if you write to us also, we can send you Nectar Devotion. So who knows where that this person had such an attraction for Nectar Devotion and the contents. This is already an elevated scripture. So the last person. So but for Back to Godhead magazine, for some incense pack, she gave me bill. I didn't even look at it. I just put it in my pocket. And when I got back and I'm counting, because we didn't have many bills. In those days, people were giving change. I saw that it was a $100 bill. $100 bill is a big note. No, but so those realizations that if you just try to take that step towards Krishna sincerely, what can I do? I have no qualifications. But I can distribute this book and put it into someone else's hand and they will get the benefit of meeting Srila Prabhupada, meeting Krishna. Actually meeting. It's not a hypothetical situation. They meet Srila Prabhupada. They get realization of who this personality was. So many people now, they carry on these long-distance relationships on Facebook. They have never met. They don't even know if these photos are accurate. Because people use fake photos all the time. And people fall in love by these interactions. How is that? So on a mundane platform, if their emotions are aroused to that platform of thinking that they're in love with this person, then yes, obviously, when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, one can gain that bhava, chaya bhava. He gets it. It is not theoretical. Pratyaksha bhagamam dharmya. Practically realized. Narad Rishi Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. If there is any time, I can ask a question.
I don't know. It's the time.
They said yes. So, thank you for giving a nice class. You have covered a lot and I learned a lot. And I am made up of those laglus. My question is, so Prabhupada says that for the material problems, there is spiritual solution. Can you give some practical examples from Prabhupada's perspective? In Kali Yuga there are so many demons, rascals, rogues, thieves, plunderers, so many types of crazy people. As irreligiosity is becoming prominent and they are becoming more and more prominent, from Prabhupada's perspective, how we can resolve that kind of problem and just bring them to the lotus feet of Krishna so that the society will become harmonious. I can give one example before you just answer me. Just Narottam Das Thakur is the best example. He made so many disciples, and from those disciples there are so many rascals, rogues, thieves, plunderers. So from Prabhupada's perspective, please give us some practical example so that we can preach in different parts of the world how we can defend them and bring to the Lord's feet of Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada is extremely kind. We pray every day for just one drop of His mercy. Simply one drop. If we can give to everyone, what to speak of ourselves, we have full access. This is like some people, they join society to get some benefit, some club, where they'll get gym and swimming pool and weightlifting equipment. They'll get some material benefit. We have come to this Krishna consciousness, and it is like, in one sense, open secret. This is a club by which anyone who joins, if he follows carefully, he goes back home, back to Godhead. But within that club, there are different levels of membership. One can be Kanishta, one can be Madhyama, one can be Uttama. If one remains on the Kanishta platform, then he doesn't develop that quality of compassion. He doesn't understand what his real duty is. Prahlad Maharaj exemplified this, that he asked no boon for himself in his prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. He simply said, please deliver all of these fallen souls. Please deliver all of these fallen souls. So that is our mood. We give the chance. If someone doesn't want the chance, what can we do? So Prabhupada said, don't be surprised who leaves. He said, be surprised who stays. Because not everyone can afford the price of this club, this exclusive society, that Mat Kamrakin, Mat Padamo, Mat Bhakta Sangavajata, Nirvara Sarvabhuteshu, Yasama Meti Pandava. Prabhupada in the purport declared that this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The essence. And one has to become free from mental speculation and sinful activity. Mental speculation means illusion, and from illusion comes sinful activity. So all of our problems in Krishna consciousness come from mental speculation, deviation from the order of the spiritual master, imposing my small conceptions and misconceptions on the process. The process is perfect. One time in Los Angeles, there was some incident. Some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, and they were focusing specifically on the pastimes, the intimate pastimes of Lord Krishna and the gopis, and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in this mood. And they called themselves, they didn't call, but someone was calling Gopi Bhava Club. Gopi Bhava Club. So when Prabhupada heard, he was very disturbed. How did he hear? Some devotees said, Srila Prabhupada, some of our garbhas are doing like this. So if you see something, say something. If you see some deviation, don't just bring it to the attention of your authorities. So when Prabhupada called these devotees together, he was very angry. He says, why are you doing this? And they said, Srila Prabhupada, we are just simply reading your books. So what could be wrong? So Srila Prabhupada said, in the pharmaceutical shop, in the apothecary shop, the shelves are lined with medicine. Unless you know how to dispense that according to the direction of an expert physician, then it is simply poison. So in the same way, all this philosophy is there, from the highest to the lowest. But if you do not know how to apply it, if you don't follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions carefully, then it will simply act like poison. So then he told them very strongly, he said, first deserve and then desire. So that is where that saying comes from. First deserve, then desire. So that is our mood. I don't have to do anything separate. If I simply please Srila Prabhupada, Yasya Devi Parabhaktiya, we can quote this in every Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada used to do certain things in these pandals, even in Bombay pandal. He would combine shlokas for preaching to the general mass of people. And he would say something, and then he would say, Harinam eva kevalam, or Shrama eva hi kevalam. On that one particular verse, Samo Damo Tapaso Cham, Prabhupada would always quote, Satyam Samo Damo Tapaso Cham. Because people don't know what is truth. They think it is some relative truth. Prabhupada said, truth, real truth is devoid of any sense of social convention. It is not politically correct. Prabhupada said, if a thief is known to be a thief, then everyone must be told so that they get protected. That is in Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, 4th and 5th shlok in the purport. Truth means for the benefit of others. That if a thief is a thief, he must be called a thief. He must be advertised as a thief. Then everyone is protected. That is truth. Not some flowery truth, only spoken of if it can be done nicely. No. Prabhupada said, that is not the truth. One has to simply read Srila Prabhupada's books. Everything is there. You cannot be confused if you read Srila Prabhupada's books. Doesn't matter what anyone says. Even he's sitting on the gutty. So, any other, Narad, I hope that gives some indication. If we're following strictly, we avoid all controversy. That is the key. Nothing else has to be there. The problem is following or not following.
Thank you.
Any other question? Prabhu's there. I know Prasadam must be waiting. Usually the temple president is by this time giving me some indication. Like this. So if there's no more other questions. Srila Prabhu, what? Prabhu, you have to ask the moderator. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai.
Shri Radha Rasa Bihari ki jai.